can text me and, you know, I'll try to read maybe 5 or 6 texts. But please send me, you know, if it's a father figure, not everyone has been having a father in their lives, but if you had a father figure, someone that impacted you, can you please share an impression or something that really touched your life? Can be one word, one sentence, and then I'll read it. I'll not say your name, but please text it to me, and then after my story, I'll read some of those. So that's my phone number, 414-801-9123. And that phone is available only for right now. So I had a conversation most recently with an individual, and he asked, who is your hero? And, he's a believer, so Jesus Christ, right? And that's when it's our hero, right? And my second was David. And he's like, yeah, I know, but can you tell me more about someone that you can see it? And my mind goes to somebody that maybe I'm following on other areas that I want to grow. And then, short story, I missed one name. And towards the end, we were talking about how hard it is in our generation that there is no thankfulness. And so all of a sudden, a man came in my mind. So in Albania, in 1994, right after communism, everyone had the same kind of income. You know, the bread was for everyone, has this much bread, this much butter. So there was not too much rich and poor person. They were about the same income level. And so this man, he was an accountant for 1,500 employees in the textile industry. And he was always giving, end of the month, give the salaries around, and then he will come back from his work and he will carry this sack with money, cash, and he will walk to this house, and over there he will set a table, and then people from work will come and get the money. And so he will work late and people will come in that space. Well, democracy came and the country went to freedom, and the realization of what freedom means is extreme freedom, that I can do what I want and you don't, and I can step on your foot, and corruption started. And so all the textile industry pretty much was destroyed. And so this man now had to provide for his family, and there is so many stories in that in my country that people sold their homes for a better of their family and things failed. Short story, this man had a family, and they were in a small room, and there were 6 people sleeping in that room. For 6 years, they were staying in that room. And this man will get up every morning, early morning, and will go in the main road in the street, and that's the location that other men go in there. And people come for different kind of works. Some, they will want it to move things from their home, so that will be their job for the day. Or there will be a big truck with potatoes or flour. So this man will come home and he was fully covered with flour, and he will get $2 to $5 per day. And he wanted to ensure that his family had food on the table, and then his kids will go to attend the church, pay money for the bus. Those were the 2 things that this man did. And when I share this story, it was my dad. And what I can say is that my dad is teaching me that he's a great provider. It doesn't matter the title, and it doesn't matter what you do. You take care and you are a provider for your family. That was my story about my dad. He's a provider. And I'm going to check my phone. I'm sure there's lots of text messages. So gonna read as much as I can in here. Good work ethic and regular devotion to God's people and a constant provider of safety and security. Another one said humbleness. Another said being generous. My late husband was a selfless father. He sacrificed his own dreams to do the best for his family, for his children. Loving and godly. My father had taught me, steadfastness and stability during the times of duress, resulting in strength for endurance. Loving and godly. Taught a useful rhyme. First your work, then your play, then you'll have a happy day. Taught me a good work ethic and has been very valuable to me. He's funny, generous, and gave me his name, which begins with WF. My dad taught me the importance of laughter. It gave me a great outlook on life. My father loved me no matter how stupid I behaved. Honesty, wisdom. And I'll stop in there. Aren't we blessed to have great figures? And you know, if you have a father on nearby you, please pat them on the shoulder. Thank you. Thanks for doing that. So I was preparing for today, and here's the topic. It was blank. It was blank, and I've been in the scripture, and I saw the story of David and Solomon. I've been through David's story the most recently, and David is in the bed, almost dying, and he's telling to Solomon what to do next, what something God has put in his heart to build a temple. And so, great story to share, right? But something, it's something, God, what do you only tell? Because I do not know. Your word has so many stories of men of God that has been set in an example, and I can share so much. But through the journey also, when you read God's word, I'm sure you and I, when we face God's word, we have to see it with ourselves. Am I the right example? Am I in the right standard with God's word? And that is another big impact. And as Timothy will say, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And as we go to God's word, it's like a tape measure, and that tape measure is 1 inch, is 1 inch, is not 1 foot. And so if I'm going to that measurement, I need to check myself first. And that it took time, and that was part of my blank in there. But I don't want this message to be just for fathers. This is a message for each of us. The influence of a godly man or woman. And so before we go back to the passage in Deuteronomy, which is about God speaking to Moses, and they have already got the Ten Commandments, and God is still reminding them about what he's about and what he's asking to Israel, it's very important that we lay the groundwork in here. Think about who was Israel, a chosen nation, and they were got out from Egypt to the promised land. And I want to bring it in for us because that was Israel. What about you and I that are Gentiles? And, oh goodness, I want to tell a story in here. So this is a cup, and it's a coffee cup, or some use it for tea. And back in Albania, there is a word that can be in vocabulary, and is you poured too much coffee in my cup. And you will see very often with my mom, she will always pour. That's kind of Albanian style. And so the word goes, right? And if you want, you can use it as your password. Just put an exclamation mark in the end, another T in the end. But when you go to the book of Ephesians, for you and I, it's a great book. Ephesians, we were God's enemy, and now we're his creation for good work. And we can read other passages. We were blind, but now we can see. We were from dark to the light, and there is this change and transformation that has happened in our life, like Israel happened, that they were left from slavery, and now they are with God and in liberty to worship God. And this is the reality for us, because has happened, and I believe has happened in each of you, that moment that you encounter Jesus in your life. Paul encountered Jesus in his life, and he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that was an encounter for Saul, and then God changed his life, transformation into Paul. Jacob was another person that God changed him and called him Israel in that crucial moment. And then Jacob was saying, he wasn't saying, he said, I want your blessings. He was fighting for God's blessings. And we are blessed in Christ. We are really blessed in Christ. So this is the foundation for you and I, that we are blessed in Christ, because in Him we have the blessed spiritual blessings in Christ. And they, if I can just skim really quick, it's good I put something in here. Ephesians, in Him we have obtained inheritance. In Him you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Him you are made alive. You are alive together with Christ. And He raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For you that do not know Christ, just so you know, this is the gospel. This is the good news. The reality is that we are sinners. The reality is that with our sin, we are destined to death. The reality is that we cannot approach to God with our own strength. No one can approach to God with their own strength. But God had found a solution for you and I, and that is only Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And He had to take your place and my place so you and I can have a relationship with God. And it's very important to consider, for whoever does not know Jesus, to think, who is this Jesus? Take your time and understand, who is this Jesus? Because once you are seeking Him, you are going to encounter a transformation in your life. So let's go back to the passage. I mentioned who we are and who we belong to. And so Israelites are God's chosen nation, and they belong to Him. And so it's important, this relationship that God has with them. And if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, God is saying to Moses about Israel, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them, they will fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they will fear me and always keep my commandments. You know, God is not about a God of, you have to do this and it's a must. He's asking the heart. He's not asking for robots, the AI intelligence that does everything, what we say and what we like to see. But it's about the heart condition that He wants us to seek Him. But it's amazing that if you and I, and Israelites, they will have a heart in them that will fear God, always keep all His commandments, look at the result, the consequences. It's going to be well with them and with their children forever. Legacy that we can pass on. It's going to be well, and it's going to be well to your children. it's a legacy. And the word legacy, the first meaning is, okay, mom, dad, make sure my name is on that paper in there. It's a house or whatever you have that you have been building in your life, riches that you can share. But this is beyond. You know, God did not only promise a land to Israel, but there was promises that went beyond just material things. And it goes to legacy that continues. And the legacy that can pass on. Passing on things of lasting value to those who will live on for after us. A legacy which will involve living intentionally and that will aim to build into the next generation for their success. And so, Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and they will you will have success. And it does not affect negatively, but is positively. It will be well, and you will be prospering. So the legacy will pass on. All right. So I've heard that the biggest fear, you know, we can say the biggest fear is dying, but I heard that the biggest fear is the fear of public speaking. And so if you imagine, it's better to choose to be in the coffin than to be to speaking up here. So going back to that, there was a man, his name was Noble. If you guys know about the name Noble, Alfred Noble. Have you heard about the Nobel Prize? About the peace that people that, you know, make a difference in this world? Well, somehow, Alfred Noble in 1888, he was a successful entrepreneur. He had, I think, lots of patents, 70 plus patents, and he was a scientist. And the side of dynamite, he made dynamite, that bloomed, that kind of business bloomed. And so it did happen that his brother died, but by mistake, the newspaper thought that he died. And so he wakes up in the morning and he's like, okay, what's the news of the day? The merchant of death is dead. His name is in there, Dr. Alfred Nobel. Oh, goodness. What other people are thinking about me? He said, the merchant of death is dead. And another newspaper, Le Figaro, French, and he's translating there, a man who cannot very easily pass for a benefactor of humanity died yesterday in Cannes. And so this was a turning point for him, because he said, what people are thinking about me, and what I need to do to change, because I don't want to let a legacy that I am known as a merchant of death. And so he did that, all the funding, he created a foundation, and it was about the, you know, even though dynamites are bad, he said that they can be used for peace, so no one touched this country because there's a powerful, you know, I don't fully understand all the reasoning, but short story, it did happen that the journey has been continued, that whoever has been impacting into our society has been recognized and got the Nobel Prize. And has changed now to, when we think about Nobel Prize, you think about someone that is peaceful. It's not about the merchant of death. And so he wanted to leave a legacy. And so what is the legacy? And God wants that they can have a heart for Israel. They will fear me and always keep my commandments. Keep God first. And this is God's desire. Okay, so when we look at the verse 1, he's saying, now this is the commandment and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson in all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. That the days may be prolonged. You know, really fearing God, loving God, obeying to him, is going to have a result of a prolonged life. You are going to have not only a well life that you are going to make, you know, you might be even financially well, but it's prolonged life. But therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful, verse 3, to observe it. The word here is Shema. And God has already spoke about all this before. He's saying, hear. It's not listen, hear it. Don't listen to speak, just hear to understand. And the word hear has been repeated many times. You're going to hear it in the passage. Because we are forgetful. We are forgetful. Isn't that amazing that we do it once a week coming here to remember our Lord Jesus Christ? Because I believe, I know myself, I am a forgetful person. But then it's continuing. O Israel, may be careful to observe it, that it might be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Prosperity will come when we seek God, when we fear God, and we want to leave that legacy moving forward. Proverbs 9, 10, and 11 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Proverbs 22, 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Spillover blessings from generations to generations. I'm sure I'm not the right person to speak about it, but I'm sure the people that are ahead of me many years on their shoulders and they've seen how Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, we were in the 100 years anniversary, we saw amazing stories of a generation to generation. Mr. Gus is there and we have the Queen family continuing. We have the Schrottfegers family. We have Joel and I was, it's okay if I can share, Memorial Day, Joel sent me a message and he's like, hey, we have this event to spend with my brothers and you want to bring Josiah to spend time with Jonathan. And it was a very unique moment because that was the day that 2 years ago your dad passed on Memorial Day. And in the end of activity that we had together, your brothers and yourself, Joel, were sharing about your dad. And what you guys shared is that he was a teacher. A teacher. He had a desire to teach and instilled on you. And that's what you're doing for your children, but you are doing for us in our church. And thank you for keeping the legacy. And we have a leadership, and I believe that Wauwatosa Bible Chapel is well known for humble men. A legacy that is being carried, was before, was set, and is continuing. It's such amazing to be with humble men and women of God and walking together, isn't it? What a legacy are we leaving behind? Verse 2, so the second point will be an influence of a godly man and woman loves God with all this and her being. And Deuteronomy verse 5 and 6, it says, well, let's read verse 4, it's important. Hear, O Israel, again, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's important that that is a repetition because it's still God speaking and He's one. Because we can easily listen to somebody else. There are many gods out there. And for today's society, we have so much access to the information and social media that is just bombarding us. And it's verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. When people asked Jesus what is the greatest commandment, He said the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, with all your might. And then love your neighbor. So in order for us to be an influence for somebody else, we need to make sure where we stand with the Lord. We need to make sure, am I giving enough to the Lord? Is my heart in tune with God? I'm telling you, I fail a lot. But isn't our God, our Heavenly Father, full of mercy? And this is the number one. We should love the Lord with all our being, with all our hearts. And but we are not perfect, and that's what makes us human. But we have to always check about where we are in standing with Him, because we cannot hide from the Lord. And I'm responsible to train my children at home, but how I can pass on to somebody else if I don't have what I don't have? So I need to make sure I really take it seriously, the time I spend with the Lord, in order to pass along about speaking about the Lord to, you know, it's not only about the children, it's about your sister and brother that is on your left and right, it's about your neighbor, it's about the other people that you encounter into your path. And so verse 7 says, you shall teach them diligently about your children and shall talk of them when you sit on your house, when you walk by them, and when you lay down and when you rise up. There's something I did. Okay, so an influence of a godly man and woman is intentional into leading. And verse 7 is saying intentional into leading. You have to have a mindset. I have to have a mindset to pass on. And that goes even in character and communicating with the kids. We have to make sure that this is guiding our lives, God's word, and is a standard. And I'm sure I fail a lot to spend time more with my kids, but the verse 7 is saying, and you shall teach them diligently. Be intentional into teaching the next generation. I am so thankful of Wauwatosa Bible Chapel that is intentional into doing that. But Sunday school is amazing. Thank you, Mr. Neil, for leading it and for supporting all the teachers and all the materials that they need and providing a safe environment in here. And thank you for the youth group with Sela that is being carried by the next leaders into the youth group. And they are loving our kids. Thank you to each of you that is in this room, because intentionally you are paying attention about the kids, what's going on with them. And if you've seen something that is not right, to point it out to the parents, so then we can do a better job. Thank you for doing that. But we're going to see later that Wauwatosa Bible Chapel is my support group. It's not the main priority of the Wauwatosa Bible Chapel to raise my kids. And I'm talking to myself in here as we are talking, is my job to raise my kids and to have the great body of Christ to support. And so let's stand up. I mean, this is a Father's Day. It's not about just let's have fathers on Father's Day. It's about challenging ourselves, because we are doing a good job, but the fight is not done. The journey is not finished. We have way more work ahead of us. So how we talk with our kids? Well, we talk when we go through different circumstances. Aren't we full of circumstances? I'm sure you will, each of you has lots of stories to share. And those circumstances, when you bring God, when, well, first of all, gospel is the problem solver of any problem that we have. You will say, what? For God left, Lord Jesus left his glory and came down and became a man to understand us so he could take us and be with the Father. And so it's important that as we speak with each other, with our kids, with another brother or sister that is going through a situation, to spend time to understand, to spend time how they are feeling. It might be wrong. They are in a wrongdoing. But it's okay to understand and listen, to have an ear. Because you know what? I was a prodigal son or daughter. And I know how it feels. And then bring Christ in the midst of the conversation, because he's going to help you to see. When we turn our eye into a sea, from being eye to really bend our eye into a sea, and then we can be able to see and to move forward. And there are other ways how we can always communicate, and by doing also by example. Let's go to the next point in here. Verse 8. This was very a good picture story. You shall bind them as a sign into your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts in your house and on your gates. All right, so here's a learning path for me. I didn't know that, and I was... So the Jewish... I'm still doing a tradition. I'm sure someone in here might be a better teacher about this for me, as I just skimmed really quick about this. But they continue using this tefillin, and it's a leather. There are two leather boxes, and inside of the leather boxes, there are some scrolls, and there are four scrolls into those leather boxes, and. So the one box get wrapped up, if you see the picture on the upper left, or even here, the kid is wrapped up in the head, is right in the forehead. And then there is one right in the arm in here. And then you have this wrap in here, because you don't want that box to fall off. And this continues even today in a Jewish tradition. So what is in there? Inside the roll... on the box, one of the boxes is called, I don't know the name of the box, but there are two rolls inside there, and it's called Kadesh. And Kadesh holds two passages, Exodus 13, 1 to 10, and Exodus 11 to 16. And the first one is duty of a Jewish to remember. It's the duty of a Jewish person to remember. To remember what? That they were in slavery and now they are free. That there was a redemption from Egyptian bondage. And the next one was duty of every Jew to educate his children. That's the second role. The next role is Shema. And Shema also is the word hear. And that verse in there is Deuteronomy 6 from verse 4 to 9. And it's talking about the unity of God. The command to love and fear God. And the next thing is Vehaya. I'm sorry for the way I'm expressing that. It's Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21. And he's talking about God's assurance to us that he will reward to us if we follow and observe the Torah. Isn't that an amazing picture? I mean, that's the Jewish people that are doing today. They are putting very graphic into their head, into their arm. Why in their arms? Isn't that when we have actions? To remind us that when we do actions, why we are doing it, and also in our head, to start thinking about it. Ma, do we need to do this practical for you and I today? I don't think so we need to. But I think it's a great reminder, isn't it? here it is. Getting together here at our Wauwatosa Bible Chapel is a great place where God's word is spoken, that God's word truth is being spoken. I've been, you know, someone encouraged me, you know, in my days that I've been some dark days, like you all have had dark days. And I'm coming with my family in here, and someone said, just thank you for just being present in here. Thank you for being present in here. It's a good place and safe zone and safe place to be. But the legacy that we leave is very important. And, you know, you younger men and women, you are the next generation, the stronghold of God's word. You are the next generation to teach others. Don't look at yourself that you are not good enough. Because through you and through I and through each of us, God can use us. But what we need to do is we need to humble ourselves. We need to go, let God work in through us. And I don't know how much more time we have, but I'm going to conclude it with... going to conclude it with just an example of Paul and Timothy. I'm just going to read the passage and let God's word speak through that. It's at Philippians chapter 2. And as we are reading, think about the legacy that Paul is leaving, the unity that Paul had. So Philippians chapter 2. And it goes with, Paul is talking to Philippians and he's in prison. He's not in a situation that is a great circumstance, right? But he had great joy and he had this desire to encourage the body of Christ. And he's talking about unity that is very important. And then he's saying, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And then he goes, there you go. The humbleness of Christ that he had to... humble himself to the point of death, but then God raised him and put him in a position that every knee will bow down. But then he's going to continue reading. We're going to read from verse 12 to verse 24. And I want to encourage each of you to continue fighting the good fight, continue for unity, continue to leave a legacy that you are doing amazing, but there is still more to do, right? And so let's look at this comparison between Paul, Philippians, and pay attention to Timothy too. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine the light as lights in the Lord, in the Word, holding fast the Word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, and as soon as I see how it goes with me, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. We can close in a prayer, and then Joel, okay. And Father... Thank you for allowing us to call you Abba, Father. And thank you for your word. And thank you that you speak to us and you want us to hear to you. And many times we wonder, I wonder, but you are still gracious, always with open arm as a father and accepting us back, because you know that you love us, you care for us, and you have shown your love through us by giving your son Jesus, a love that is shown in action by giving. And you gave your son Jesus, your only son. We don't fully understand your love, but we can say today, thank you for loving us. God, bless each man and woman in this room, that they desire you in their heart, they seek you in their heart, that we all collectively honor you with the life that you have given to us. Help us to be the best managers of what you have given in our hands. And by doing so, your name be glorified. Help us as we celebrate Father's Day today and the father's figures, and bless each woman and man in this room. And we are already blessed by you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.